Welcome to The Secrets of Success. By following the proven techniques of the guests who appear on this series, you'll learn that even successful people run into detours and failures, and how you can apply their success techniques to change your life.
You're now listening to the most unique show on radio, the show dedicated to making you a success. Is selling different after the pandemic? Let's find out from our guest, Ryan Dorn. Ryan, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me and helping me fulfill my mission, I think, in life, and that is helping people be successful, so especially in the sales business. So thanks for having me.
We love that. And you've written a book, Selling Forward, and I told you before the show, this is exactly my type of book because you spell things out very clearly. Just do this, do this, do this, and you'll be successful. That's all we really want. And if I had a company, this would be their manual for the sales staff. I would hand this out to everybody and say, just do what Ryan says. Now, let me ask you, pandemic fatigue selling is an expression you start out with in the book. Is that something obviously new since the pandemic? Is that a different way because of the pandemic?
It seems like every time there's any level of economic uncertainty or some type of crisis that happens across the country, the United States, or around the world, I tend to write a book after it. You know, 06, 07, 08, there came my second book. The pandemic coming towards the end, which I really hoped that the end of the pandemic would be the end, and little did we know that it's going to go on and on. Little also did we know that we'd roll from the pandemic into economic uncertainty. So we're dealing with a highly emotional set of buyers out there right now. And I think that's an important thing for us to discuss post-pandemic, if you will, whatever that means to you. Economic uncertainty, whatever that means to you. It is universal in people being emotional about their buying habits, their risk averse. So I think some people could say people are always risk averse. They don't want to buy anything from salespeople. I'm just noticing now that we were at about a 50-50 mix between people that buy logically, people that buy emotionally. And now every Friday, what's turned into me is a report from the people I coach, and we're seeing pandemic levels of emotional buyer sets right now out there. That's concerning, especially because so many sellers are logical, yet the vast majority of our buyers are emotional. And I'm concerned that we have a bit of a mismatch.
Well, you have an expression, and I copied it down from the book, people do not mind buying, but they don't want to be sold. And that almost seems contradictory. So can you explain it to us?
Yeah, you bet. It wasn't that long ago that SAP did a study where they said something like 68-70% of people would rather go to the dentist than talk to a salesperson. I mean, can you imagine that, Bill? People would rather go get their teeth drilled than talk to a salesperson.
I was just thinking, would I fall into that? No. I would rather talk to you, and I'm enjoying talking to you.
So when you think about what does that really mean, it really means that people don't mind buying stuff. They just don't like the process of being sold. And when you're dealing with a younger buyer set, the tolerance level for, if you will, quote unquote, old sales strategies, actually, they can't even palate it. It's to a point now where you've got 70-some% of people researching well before calling on a salesperson. And yet we're still using the exact same sales strategies that were taught by Carnegie back in the 60s. And I'm not saying we should throw those out. I'm not saying that the people that came before me as a trainer or as a coach were wrong. I'm just saying that things are a little bit different now. So let's learn from the past. Let's adapt and adopt some new sales strategies. And let's roll forward. And let's not look at being salespeople as much as being helpers and being advisors, because I think people are going to receive us better and we're potentially going to sell more.
I think in all fields, if I'm right, I've heard from a doctor who says, you know, now I have patients come in and they're telling me what they read on the internet. And, you know, they're coming to see him about a disease or a pain or an illness or a perceived broken bone. And they're giving him the internet reports or kind of challenging him. And he's saying, yeah, but, you know, I've been a doctor for X many years. I work on professional sports teams. I really kind of know this stuff. I think you should follow me. So it must be even more difficult in your world because someone sees it. And I mean, it can be the crappiest product in the world, but if it's 40% less, it's probably a tough sell to explain to someone why that's going to break in 3 weeks just when they need it, or there's an important copy to be made or report to get out, et cetera, et cetera. I read again in your book something about 50% of sales touches aren't sales related. Now, why is this? Is this on purpose? Is this part of your strategy, or does it just happen that way?
It really needs to be a part of everybody's strategy. If every time you reach out to a potential buyer, whether you're doing insurance or retail or advertising or whatever the circumstance is, if every time I contact you, I'm trying to sell you something, I'm a salesperson. But if half of the time I'm reaching out to you, I'm providing value to you, whether it's an industry trend report, it's a piece of local information, maybe it's even something that's comical or funny, then I believe that I'm coming across as being helpful and being a lot more of an advisor. Because we know that most people don't want to talk to a sales rep, what can we do to come across as being less salesy really than ever before? Because we've got so many people so well researched, or so they think, before they talk with us. If we come across as being a salesperson, we're very often overselling because they're probably to a point of being ready to buy, or they probably wouldn't have contacted you via email or whatever the circumstance is. So I think it's really important in our communication strategies to not always be selling. You might remember back, maybe you don't, to the old Glengarry Glen Ross movie, I think from like 78 or something like that, where Alec Baldwin in his early days, I think it was him that said, always be closing.
ABC.
Well, it's not that we don't want to do that, but now we're realizing back in the day, people needed to speak with us to learn about products and services. Now they really don't. They find a lot of research online. So if everything we do, we walk, we talk, we smell like a salesperson, whatever the circumstance is, as the old saying goes, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Because people don't want to be talking to salespeople, why are we acting like salespeople? I really feel we should be advisors, we should be helpers, and we've got to move into that mentality shift. Even though it's very appealing to be one of those people that's always be closing and following leadership roles like that or models like that, I'm just noticing that in most industries, it's just not resonating. And in most industries, it's just not selling as much as it once did because people don't want to talk to sales reps, but they are looking for help. They are looking for advice. They are seeking recommendations. And that's one of the biggest things I talk about in the book. Become a recommendation-based seller. People love recommendations. Our lives revolve around recommendations. So rather than talking with somebody about their needs, their goals, and desires, let's talk to them about what we might recommend based on past customer experiences that were excellent. And I think you'll find that you'll get further faster.
I was actually, as you were answering that question, thinking, would I challenge you on that? And then I said, no, you know, if someone calls me up, and let's use the insurance agent who we all fear. there's a call from your insurance agent. I'm not home. I'm sick. I have to run out. The dog has to go to the vet, whatever. But if someone calls up and says, Bill, I just want to tell you, I know you like mystery novels. This is good. Or I know you're interested in golf and I played this course. I think you'd really enjoy it. Wow. Wait, you're not trying to sell me something? You're just giving me a piece of information that might help my life? Or maybe you're telling me a new law in insurance that could be applicable to me. I do appreciate that. And it definitely makes sense what you're saying. You list in your book, and I never thought of it this way, but you say there's three types of buyers, and I think that's on page 13. Can you tell us what they are and why is this important? I mean, are they different age groups or where do they fit in?
Yeah, great question. People, salespeople, typically sell the way that they buy. And so if you think about that in a logical format, if you sell the way that you buy, what if you're a mismatch for the person you're trying to sell? So the three personality types are easy to describe: ego-driven buyers, emotional-driven buyers, and logical-driven buyers. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people think they're a little bit of both. So if you're a logical buyer, you're somebody that really uses facts and stats to make your buying decision. If you're an emotional buyer, it's not that you ignore facts and stats. It's just a little bit more emotional for you. For example, my lease was up on my car. My wife said, go buy whatever car that you want, Ryan. Just make the payment less than the last one. So after 28 years of being married to the same person, I realized I should do what I'm told.
Exactly.
And I said, yes, ma'am. I come home from the car dealer with a car that I really, really liked. She said, why did you buy that car? You can't put groceries in the back seat. It's so small. But babe, don't I look good in this car? See, my wife is a logical person and I love her for that. and she's a logical buyer. It's about miles per gallon. Now, she doesn't want an ugly car, but she wants practicality in the things that we're bringing home to our house to use for our family. That's not me. I buy it because it makes me look good, and maybe I was entering a midlife crisis. Who knows? So when you think about ego, emotional, and logical buyers, you have to sell to the person that you're meeting with. So I'm an emotional person. I'm an emotional buyer. I'm an emotional seller. Let's just say, Bill, that you happen to be logical. If you're a logical buyer and I'm an emotional seller, we're a mismatch. You're going to look to me and say, Ryan, enough of the stories, my friend. What is the miles per gallon in that car? Tell me about the torque on the engine. Tell me about the horsepower of the engine. And I'm just thinking, hey, does it go fast? I'll look good. So first thing to do is identify, who are you? It's okay if you're logical, if you're emotional, if you're ego-driven, watch out. If you're emotional, it's okay. You just need to make sure that if you're selling to someone that's logical, you take more of a logical approach. If you're selling to someone that's emotional, you take more of a story-driven approach. There's nothing wrong with any of the personality types, but just determine who you are, because if you think you're a little of both, that means you're emotional, because logical people know exactly who they are. And it's an important piece of the sales puzzle, because if you connect more deeply with people at a personality type level, of course, do research on LinkedIn, things like that. But when you connect with somebody at more of an emotional level, you almost always sell them more. And that's what our goal is.
That's the magic. I'm very logical, so that means that at certain points in the show, I have to take a break, and that's one of the points we're up to now. So I'm going to let our audience know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Secrets of Success on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHBC. I'm your host, Bill Horan. Our guest today is Ryan Dorn. That's D-O-H-R-N. His book is Selling Forward, Pandemic-Tested Sales Strategies for Success. Ryan, we're going to ask you one where we can get the book, and if there's a website where we can learn more.
Love for folks to support us raising money for the Golden Harvest Food Bank. So you can buy the book on Amazon, or if you're a Kindle person or an Audible person, a lot of people buying it to listen as they drive and things like that. So head over to Amazon to buy the book and help us support the Golden Harvest Food Bank.
And Ryan, we think of this selling forward as people just in sales, but honestly, and you and I spoke about this a few minutes before the show, this is really useful for any profession, because in a sense, a teacher is selling, whether it's English or math or love of music, whatever that is. The pastor is selling his or her religion to the group. The doctor wants you to follow his or her advice because, of course, it's going to make you healthier and help relieve the pain and make them a better doctor in your mind. So everybody in some way or, excuse me, in some form or another is going to be involved in selling or convincing people. And even if you're not a professional salesman like yourself, these techniques can help a lot, especially maybe the lawyer who's on trial and has to sell a jury of 12 people. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about communications. That really is the secret to success, in my opinion. And communicating more effectively is something that we all need to do. And after all, we're all in sales.
Now, how do we find out when we meet a new person? How do we find out which, is there any magic words we can use or tricks to find out which of the three categories they're going to fit in and be most responsive to?
I'm really glad you asked this question, because a lot of times people will hire me as a consultant or something like that, looking for tips and tricks and fast tracks. Here's the heart and soul of the matter in the sales business we're in. If sales was easy, everybody'd be doing it. And they're not. It is work. It is hard work. Here's the interesting thing, Bill. Everybody wants to work smarter and not harder. I'm telling you right now, in the sales business, this is one of the hardest selling times that I've ever, you know, really been involved in 33 years of being in the sales and marketing business. But there's technology out there that we never had before. Now, I'm not that old, but I remember the fax machine coming to the office. And I do remember 8-track players, you know, being in my dad's truck. So I've been around a little bit of time. It's important, though, when we really want to drill in on who we're trying to target, LinkedIn is one of my best resources. I can find out where somebody went to college. I can find out where it is that they worked. I can read their little about us segment and kind of get a glimpse into their soul. I can see where they volunteered. Now, I could go online in advance and kind of see lists of items and know that maybe someone's a little more logical because they're listing things out. When you go to my LinkedIn profile, you can tell I'm an emotional person. It says, I love my job. I love 80s rock music and taking my wife to the movies. And I'm a big fan of good coffee, by the way. I know the difference between good and bad. What's interesting is I mentioned coffee on my LinkedIn profile, Bill, and I'm asked about it all the time. People will say, what's your definition of good coffee? Or somebody will say, hey, I see you're a fan of 80s rock and roll music. What's your favorite band? What it says to me before I meet with somebody is that this person I'm meeting with is paying attention. They're relevant. They prepared for the conversation. And I believe in the sales business, being prepared is really kind of half the battle. Showing up is the first step and being on time. But the second step is being prepared. I don't think there's anything better you can do before a sales call than just really be prepared. Now, sometimes, you know, you've got folks listening to the show that are entrepreneurs or they have retail businesses. A lot of times you can't research right before someone walks into the store, but you can make some assumptions. You can look at their body language. You can hear the questions that they ask. So to go back to your original question, is there sort of a secret question to ask? I would say not necessarily. However, asking somebody what their budget is usually a real downer. So what I like to do in every circumstance, no matter the business, is ask this question. How can I help you? How can I help you today? Even if you're selling insurance, I know you probably already have insurance, Bill. I'm calling you today because I'm hoping I can help you maybe save some money. I'm hoping I can help you save some time or whatever that circumstance is. You'll be amazed. Hey, what can I do to be of help to you today? You'll be amazed at the answers that you'll get. Here's something interesting. No matter how many people I meet, large, small, worldwide, doesn't matter, color, creed, religion, I find people are looking for help and that people are willing to help. I don't care what anybody says about the world we live in. I travel all the time. And when I ask for help, it is very rare that someone says, I'm not going to help you. As a matter of fact, most people love giving advice, even unsolicited advice.
Yeah, exactly.
And people don't mind helping. So let's not live in a world thinking that everybody hates each other. I find that people are always willing to help. If you just ask, how can I help you today? You'd be amazed.
And you're an approachable person, so that's even more so. I mean, there's a smile on your face through the interview. I see where you're going. One of the big things about sales that most of us forget is prospecting. And I read something and I wrote it down because it kind of surprised me. You said it's an error to sell while prospecting. And I would think you're out there and, like you said, ABC, always be closing or selling or getting the message out. So can you tell us about that and talk about that subject, prospecting?
You know, prospecting is a vivid part and an important part of every sales process. You have plenty of time to sell somebody. But because we know that most people don't like being sold, the prospecting process for me is just about getting people excited about maybe meeting with you about a product or a service or whatever the circumstance is. I truly believe that if you come out of the gate like a thoroughbred in the Kentucky Derby and you are selling from the first hoof stroke, people are like, whoa, hey now, wow, I really wasn't expecting this. And so what I try to do is I call it warming up the prospect. I'll try to send them things in an email in advance that might be helpful to them. I'll always be taking a helpful approach to everything that I'm doing. But more than anything, I'm trying to use social proof to get them excited about meeting with me. Social proof would be, hey, I know that, let's talk insurance for a second. I know you probably already have insurance, but I was recently talking with your neighbor, Bob Smith, and he bought insurance from me. And this is what his experience has been. In all my prospecting techniques and templates, I'm always using social proof as a way to drive the conversation forward. So for example, now, Bill, we've met, I've met you, you've met me, you're a nice guy, I'm a nice guy. I have no problem saying to the next person, boy, I just met Bill Horan, what a nice guy. And he and I did this together, he bought this from me. Saying that to the next person allows them to go, oh, okay, so this just isn't some guy trying to sell me. Bill bought from him as well. So everything that I do in the prospecting process is about trying to get somebody excited to meet with me because I truly believe I've got plenty of time to sell them. But if I come out of the gate as a salesperson, guess what? I'm a salesperson and 89% of people would rather go to the dentist than talk to me. And I don't want to be that way. I just want to sell them something.
Ryan, once again, we're at a point in the show where we want to remind the audience, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Secrets of Success on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Bill Horan. Our guest today is Ryan Dorn, D-O-H-R-N. His book is Selling Forward, and you can tell from the conversation, he knows what he's talking about. And Ryan, would you tell us one way we can get the book and a website where we can find out more?
You bet. Head over to ryandorn.com, D-O-H-R-N. But if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can get those books shipped to you free of charge over at amazon.com. And appreciate people buying the book because so far, Bill, we've raised just over $5,000 for the Golden Harvest Food Bank. And nobody in America, in my opinion, should ever go hungry any night of the week. So we're trying to give a lot of all the net proceeds from the book to the Golden Harvest Food Bank.
That's a double win right there. And just as we were talking about before the show, again, many comments going back. I think this book is an excellent guideline for people. And if someone wants to use it on their path to success, whether to convince a class to study or to actually sell a product, if you didn't get the full show, you can go to nccradio.org, nccradio.org. Look for the book Selling Forward by our guest, Ryan, D-O-H-R-N. You can listen to it at your convenience anytime. You can recommend it to someone else who's starting in sales. And I think this is really going to help their career. Ryan, there was a story about a guy named Dave in your book. And I'd like you to tell our audience, because I think this impressed me and I think it'll impress many of our listeners.
Yeah, Dave is not a necessarily unique story, though I mentioned him in the book. There's all kinds of different folks, different shapes and sizes from across the country. But Dave was struggling in his sales career, and Dave was actually moderately resistant to the sales process and what I was teaching. And so I had bet Dave, and I've done this many times, a steak dinner, that if he would just try the processes that I put in place. And he took the bait, as many people do. And when they try the process, you know, it works. One of the things we also learned, though, from Dave is that it changed his life. I mean, it changed his sales life. And this was what we might refer to as an old sales dog, if you will. And when you're trying to teach an old sales dog new tricks, it can sometimes come with a little apprehension and a little bit of worry. But I've made kind of the bet, if you will, with several folks that I'll buy you a steak dinner for you and your wife. If you try these strategies, if they don't work, then I'll buy you a steak dinner. So far, Bill, I've never had to pay for the steak dinner.
Then we definitely know they're working. And as I said, that story impressed me. And I think for anybody getting started in the field, and that this is a great starting point, because I'm the logical person. I'm the one who likes someone who lays out the rules. And to me, this is a manual. All I have to do is follow it. I'm not saying I can be as good as you or many of the people you've coached or taught, but at least I'm going to be a lot better than I would have been if I didn't have this guideline. I know you have a rule about prospecting. I think I'm going to call it the 30-day rule and 3-day rule. Can you talk about that and tell us how that fits into the prospecting picture?
Sure. So what I try to do is I try to follow up with folks on an every 3 business day type of cadence, but I'm not going to do that forever. There's some little methodology behind my pricing. I always give 3 pricing options. I always prospect every 3 business days. I make sure that I give people 3 options in almost everything that I do. And there's a reason for that. Everything in nature that's worth a darn revolves around the rule of 3, H2O. 3 trimesters to make a baby, 3 strikes in a baseball game, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You know, I mean, I could go on and on. 3 musketeers, 3 blind mice, you know, et cetera. So the 3 business rule, the 3 business day rule really came from my understanding that calling somebody every day is very annoying. Calling somebody every other day is pretty darn annoying. Calling somebody every 3 business days is just annoying enough to get a reaction, but not so annoying that it makes somebody angry. Remember, friends, different folks than me, sales donuts, sales drivers, sales force will all tell you that you're going to get no at least 4 times before you get a yes, kind of on that 5th attempt. Now, you need a program, you need a process, because a lot of folks, Bill, go through their sales day and life in very random ways. They wake up, oh, I guess today I should probably prospect. Yes, you should probably do that every day. But folks don't have a pattern. And I'm not one of those people that has patterns. I had to build them for myself. The way that my DNA was designed, the way God designed me, is that I'm a creative person. But I realized being creative, I was going to starve. I needed to get into a business I could make money. I'm a musician. I love that kind of stuff. I didn't want to starve. I got out there and started speaking and writing books and selling. The process and a proven process is based around nature, but it's also based around what other salespeople like me have seen. And that's kind of where that every 3 business days comes into the rule. And I think it's important for us to have a plan. Without a strategy, without a plan, we're just going through life in random ways. And randomness can really kill a really, really good, productive day.
How about emails and telephone? What avenue would you take, or do you mix and match?
So I like to mix and match them, but I know that people aren't going to call me back. So, and that's just a simple fact. No matter what strategy you use, there's a lot out there. People just don't want to call you back. I mean, look at my son. I tried to get him to just call his college to ask a simple question. He texted him. He emailed him. He doesn't want to pick up the phone, right? So for me, email is a lot of what I do. I use the phone to leave voicemail messages, to share my charisma. I don't ask people to call me back, but I do ask them, Bill, to respond to the email that I sent. And I find it to be a polite way of doing things. It's not all email. It's not all phone. It's not all Zoom. It's a gentle mix of them all. Recognizing that voicemails where you ask someone to call you back probably aren't terribly effective unless you're offering something for free. So use voicemail for its ability to elicit an email response. Use LinkedIn as an alternative when people don't pick up emails. Use Zoom as an alternative when people don't want to meet face to face. And I know there's a lot of Zoom fatigue out there, but I enjoy seeing the person that I'm talking to. And when you can see the person you're talking to, you can almost always get a deeper connection. You know, hey, radio is great. I started in the radio business early on in my career. But when you can add a picture to it, although some of us have a face for radio, when you add a picture to it, it always increases the reception and the ability for someone to absorb what you're trying to sell.
You've given us so much great information today, Ryan. I want to thank you. It's certainly been insightful for me. And as I said, I was going through your book. I have it all marked up. I have it underlined. I have little checks in the margin where I want to ask you. We only touched about 40% of the questions that I had for you. But this is a book, Selling Forward, by our guest, Ryan Dorn, D-O-H-R-N. I am going to tell you, I certainly endorse it. If you have anybody in the family who, and it could be a lawyer trying to convince a jury, it could be a pastor trying to convince the congregation. The points that Ryan makes, he's very well organized, he's logical, and that's probably why I like it. And he lays it right out there for you, so he couldn't make it any easier. Once again, before we wrap up, Ryan, tell us where we can get the book and the website.
I'd love for you to head over to ryandorn.com, D-O-H-R-N. And if you're an Amazon member, get online and get that delivered for free to you. And don't forget, all the net proceeds from the Selling Forward Audible book or the Amazon book, Kindle book, all the net proceeds will go to the Golden Harvest Food Bank. So help me write them a $10,000 check before the end of the year.
There we go. We want to keep you busy. Ryan, thanks for being with us today. We'd like our audience to know that you've been listening to The Secrets of Success on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Bill Horan, asking you to please join us again next week at the same time when we will continue our journey to success.